It was true. There was a lot less to do when we only had one guest who didn't seem to do anything but work all night and sleep or work all day. Let's finish off the schedules. That way we can keep the rest of the crew motivated if they're working toward a time off.
Good plan.
Eric started the engine, and we headed back to the Athena. We'd been gone nearly an hour and a half. Would Hayden have asked Skylar for anything while I was gone? I sort of enjoyed how he insisted on dealing with me, as if I was special. The way he'd reacted to me asking him about the preferences sheet, another guest might have lost it, but I liked that I'd read him well enough to know I was okay to bring it up, and I liked him even more for filling it out. He understood and respected we had a job to do, and he didn't seem to look down on me. That was unusual. Now, here I was wondering if anyone else had noticed that instead of just making sure my hair was neat, now I tried to make sure it looked glossy. Lately, I'd worn a little more makeup than usual. Hell, I was running out of fake tan. It was stupid. Hayden didn't see me like that. To him, I was staff.
Chapter 10. Hayden. I exhaled, trying to beat back the panic pushing through my veins. I straightened out the Financial Times and read the feature again in more detail. It was all about the performance of private companies and how success was so closely tied to their leadership. The article went on to detail companies that had gone belly up when their CEO left or retired. Phoenix Holdings was highlighted as being at risk as their CEO and owner was coming up for retirement. This article couldn't have come at a worse time. Negotiations between us were tense. We were in the stage where I asked lots of probing questions, and because the CEO was the major shareholder, he wasn't used to it. But it was all information I needed in order for me to complete the acquisition. However much I wanted Phoenix, I wasn't going to buy it blind. Part of me wondered if Phoenix were responsible for the article. It was bound to get people sniffing around, and the CEO would know I'd see it. Whether or not it was planned, it increased the pressure on me to get this deal done. I leaned back in my chair and picked up my satellite phone. "I need you to do something for me," I said the second Landon picked up. "Nice to hear from you, Hayden. How am I?" "Fine, thank you very much. Work is good." Sarcasm was my brother's primary skill. "Like you have time for social niceties any more than I do." "True. What can I do for you?" he asked. "I want to know if Cannon and Phoenix have a connection." I went on to explain the article. "I don't get it. You think Phoenix had something to do with the article being in the paper?" "I happen to know that Cannon have strong links with the Financial Times. They could have fed the article to them easily." "But if Cannon knew Phoenix was on the market, wouldn't they be making their move already?" My mind was whirring with reasons why Cannon might want me to buy Phoenix. "Not if they're setting a trap for me." I opened the drawer in my desk and dropped the pink newspaper inside. "This article might be designed to attract other buyers and put pressure on me to sign before I've done my due diligence. I want to make sure every rock is overturned and I've seen every skeleton in every closet. I won't be rushed into signing this deal." "Are you sure you're not being paranoid?" he asked. "You need to be focusing on getting your deal done and the leak in your office." "I don't want to do this deal if it's not right." "So focus on getting your due diligence done before it can get thrown off track. Don't borrow trouble." Was that what I was doing? Getting distracted by my own conspiracy theories? Maybe. The thought of someone working for Cannon in the business I'd built, someone trying to destroy me from the inside, wasn't any easier just because I wasn't in the office. "Okay, you have a point. I just want this leaker found," I said. "From what my team on the ground tell me, no one's tracked you to Saint-Tropez, and I've not seen anything unusual back in London. No phone calls from your senior team to any Cannon numbers, and no meetings between them either. They're not making it easy for us. But we'll figure it out." Landon and I hadn't discussed the personal connection between our family and Canon, but we both understood what was at stake. We'd experienced the after-effects of the destruction of our father's business, so we knew what they were capable of. If my digging doesn't work, we'll have to try to draw them out. We can brainstorm some ideas in a few days, if I don't find something before then. Hang on, I said, as someone knocked on my office door. Who the fuck was bothering me? No one other than Avery was supposed to be down here. I rounded the desk and swung open the door, coming face to face with Avery's big brown eyes. She glanced at the phone I was clutching in my hand.
Sorry, I just brought you some fresh coffee, as you seem to want to be back at your desk so quickly, and I know how you like a lot of coffee in the morning.
She lifted up a cup of coffee, which was just what I needed in the absence of a slug of whiskey. I took the saucer out of her hand, and our eyes locked for a second. She really noticed everything. I prided myself on reading people, on building relationships, and by remembering small things about people I met throughout my career, but this woman could give me a run for my money. Thanks, I appreciate it. Whether she knew it or not, the times I saw this woman were fast becoming the most enjoyable parts of my day.
My pleasure,
Avery said, and then shook her head slightly. I was pretty sure I caught a slight blush in Miss Professional's cheeks. Perhaps it was wishful thinking, but that didn't stop me wondering what her real pleasures were. I lifted my eyebrows and grinned at her, and she shut her eyes almost as if she were trying to regain her composure. Then, without another word, she turned, and I watched her and her fantastic ass climb the stairs. My brother calling my name caught my attention, and I lifted the phone to my ear. Sorry, it was just...
Someone catering to your every need? Must be tough.
I shut the door, put the coffee on my desk, and collapsed back in my chair. I'd prefer to be back in the office, making deals. But you're right. If I've got to disappear, there are worse places to be. Just having Avery around was like breathing pure oxygen, adding color to my otherwise taxing days. If she weren't so bloody professional, I'd have had her bent over my desk by now. But she was better than that. Worth more than a quick fuck. She was the kind of woman I'd have to take my time with.
And you're dealing with the lawyers, okay?
Landon interrupted my train of thought.
Annie said the drop went well yesterday.
Yeah, I spent the night working through the documents. Thanks for arranging that.
No problem. You're paying me.
I am? I chuckled. Landon rarely talked about money, but the fact that he'd paid cash for his penthouse in Kensington told me business was booming for him.
It's not like we're family or anything. You'll get my bill at the end of this.
You better be worth it.
I'll remind you of this conversation when you sign the Phoenix deal.
If you're sending me a bill anyway, can you dig a bit deeper into the crew here? I just want to make sure everything thoroughly checks out. What I wanted was more information about Avery. What drove her to be so good at what she did? What had made her become a yachtie and not go to university? I'd seen glimpses of the Avery underneath the professional facade, and I wanted to know more.
I've done thorough checks. There's nothing to worry about.
Do me a favor, and the next time we do a drop, give me everything you can find on Avery Walker.
The chief stewardess?
Yeah, that's the one.
Is something making you suspicious?
Only the fact that I trusted her and didn't know why. Wanted to fuck her, but hadn't made a move. It was weird. Not like me.
Nothing I'm ready to share. Just an instinct.
Okay, I'll do some follow-up work on her.
Now get out of here. I've got to go and catch some rays.
I hung up and grabbed my laptop. Sunbathing and relaxation was the last thing I needed, but I found I quite enjoyed my interactions with Avery, and so working from the main deck, knowing she would pass by intermittently, tending to my every need, wasn't an opportunity I was going to pass up. Chapter 11. Hayden. All I got from my lawyers were invoices and bad news.
Fuck!
I spat as I hung up my satellite phone. This deal had started off like clockwork, and then out of nowhere the wheels had fallen off, and I was stuck in the middle of the Mediterranean without an assistant or my email. I wished to God Landon had found the leak, so I could get back to London. There was a rap at my door. "Come in," I said. If it had been anyone other than Avery, I wouldn't have answered, but she was so dedicated, always knowing what I wanted before I did. Not to mention she was fucking beautiful. She was basically kryptonite for me.
"Hey, I just brought you a coffee. But did I come at a bad time?"
I sighed as I sat back in my chair. "Thanks. On this deal, there's never a good time." She winced, placing the large cup of coffee in front of me. I caught the scent of her, all sunshine and summer flowers, as though she just came from a better part of the universe than I did.
"Anything I can help you with?"
"Unless you can explain to me why people decide to clam up on me and make outrageous demands, then I'm not sure you can help." She transferred her weight onto one leg, and her hip pushed out to the side, creating a delicious curve I wanted to trace with my fingertips.
"What's happened? Someone stopped talking to you and has started demanding stuff? A customer?"
"It doesn't matter."
"I know it's all super top secret and everything, so don't tell me anything you shouldn't. But sometimes just talking out loud can help shuffle stuff around in your brain and a solution appears."
A grin tugged at the corners of my mouth. She made it sound easy, and if I didn't know better, I'd have believed her.
"I see your skepticism."
Her eyebrows darted up.
"Try it."
She lifted her shoulder in a half shrug.
"You never know. I might even be able to help."
I sighed. Avery's presence was calming, and I wasn't ready for her to leave. "I'm trying to buy a company, and it was all going according to plan, and then the seller just starts making crazy requests in the legal documentation, and he's not answering his phone. And I don't have email, so I can't email him. It's bloody frustrating."
"You think he's gotten a better offer and he's stalling?"
She was smart. That was my suspicion. But if he was after the best price, he'd have put the company up for auction. "Maybe. I feel disconnected from the process out here. If I were back in London, I think I'd figure it out. It's like I have one hand tied behind my back."
"And you can't get back to London because you don't want anyone to know you're buying this company."
I didn't deny it. She didn't know which company, and she'd been vetted. I needed to stop being so paranoid, as Landon had said. Something like that.
"So you're out of your comfort zone. But that doesn't mean you're in a worse position. If you were in London, what would you do in this situation? I mean, if it's so secret, I guess you couldn't just have a meeting with this guy and ask him outright what the matter is."
I reached behind my neck, pressing my fingers into the knotted muscle. Right. What would I do differently if I was back in London? Seeing people is the easiest way to figure out what they put a value on. It's pretty easy to read people.
"That's for sure. Mainly. Although, not always. Some people are tough to figure out, especially those who don't care if they're eating oysters or fish sticks."
I narrowed my eyes. "You trying to make a point, Ms. Walker?" She laughed in such a completely unaffected and genuine way, I couldn't take my eyes off her. She leaned on the side of the desk and I shifted my chair around so I was pointed toward her.
"Seeing people definitely makes it easier to read them. But what do you already know about this seller? Is it a corporation? A family? What?"
"A guy in his mid-60s. He started the business nearly 50 years ago. He's selling up and retiring." I was probably telling her too much, but I trusted her. Trusted Landon to have vetted her.
"Oh, wow. 50 years. So he's got to find it tough to let go."
I chuckled. I'm not getting it for free. He's going to retire a very rich man. He could live on one of these for the rest of his life, and his kids are still never going to have to work again. She drew the edge of her thumbnail across the desk, dividing the space between us, and I imagined her delicate wrists circled by my hands and pushed up over her head as I kissed her.
But that's not it. If his company's that successful, he probably could have sold a long time ago and never worked again, right?
Absolutely. He's crazy to have waited until now. She nodded as if what I was saying completely made sense.
So that's it, then. He's deliberately placing obstacles in the way of the sale, so he doesn't have to let go.
I sat forward, almost crossing the invisible line she'd created, and she lifted herself off the desk and stepped back. Was she concerned I was going to touch her? I could read women pretty well, and I was more than sure this attraction I was feeling was mutual. No one gets that successful without being driven by the performance of the business. Of course it's about the money for him.
Is it all about the money for you?
I took a breath. I wasn't about to confess to Avery that it was important for me to be successful and for people to see me as such. I wasn't about to tell her how I wanted my father to feel some sense of satisfaction from me building up a business more successful than Canon. I'm not sure I'm the right comparison. Most people in my business are driven by pounds and pence. I wasn't convinced by Avery's theory. Greed was the guiding force in the city.
I'm not saying that he will give his company away for free, but that money represents something for him. I bet you $100 that this is personal when you get down to it.
$100, huh? I grinned at her. I liked the way she stood behind what she was saying and didn't back down. I sat back in my chair. I'd heard rumors of several abandoned attempts at a sale over the years. Was it less about the cash and more about Harold not wanting to see his legacy belong to someone else?
Yes, $100. How would you feel if you'd built something up for 50 years and a perfect stranger was going to take it over? The people he works with are probably like family to him, and then he's got to decide what to do with all the time he normally devotes to his work.
It's possible, but I'm not sure it helps. If he doesn't want to let go, he doesn't want to let go.
Really? So you just give up? I can't imagine you made the kind of money you need to make to rent a yacht like this for 8 weeks by just surrendering.
I laughed. You pretend you're all sweetness and what can I get for you? But in fact, you're actually kind of pushy. A fighter. She shrugged, trying to hold back a smile.
I have both sides to me. Most people don't get to see beyond the sweet.
For a long second, we held each other's eye, on the edge of acknowledging that she'd confessed I knew her better than most. I liked that I did. I liked her and both her sides. She looked away first and back toward the door. I stood and shoved my hands in my pockets. I think you might be onto something. I need to figure out how to get this guy comfortable with selling to me, and it's not going to be about what's in the legal documents.
Sounds like your brain rearranged. I hate to say I told you so, but...
Her voice was higher, less conversational than before. Sweet Avery was back.
I should get back to it. Can I get you anything else?
I shook my head, smiling at her, keeping my gaze fixed on her as she slipped out of the office. I wasn't sure if it was because she was the only woman I'd been physically close to in weeks, but my cock was twitching, and I'd been seconds away from reaching for her. Sweet, funny, sexy and smart. Avery Walker had it all. And as much as I might not want to fuck her quickly, bent over my desk, I definitely wanted something more from her.
Chapter 12. Avery.
I owe you, Avery Walker, Hayden said, turning from where he was leaning against the balustrade facing the sea.
He grinned as the sliding doors of the main salon closed behind me. You do? I set down his coffee on the side table near his usual lounger. I wasn't quite sure what he meant, but his British accent, softened a little by the sun and that wide grin, felt overfamiliar.
You were right. He was getting jittery about letting go,
he said, striding toward me. As he leaned to pick up his coffee, I caught his scent, a combination of ocean breeze and forest floor, clean and masculine. That's so great, I said, moving away from him, trying to keep my distance, trying not to notice how his face had bronzed in the sun and his hair was smattered with licks of gold. It was just a suggestion.
It was a good one, really good,
he said, looking me straight in the eye. My heart began to pound. Was he making a pass at me? No, this man was all business. He was clearly just grateful for me talking to him. Yes, that was definitely it. What did he say? I asked. He blinked, his long eyelashes sweeping up his face.
I left him a voicemail talking about his people and suggesting he continue to have a role on an employee committee. He called me back. He'd wanted to know that the business was more than a balance sheet for me.
I'm glad. People are my business. It's my job to spot what could make them unhappy and head it off before it happens, I replied, trying to stay matter-of-fact.
I see that. I can't imagine anyone being unhappy with you around.
He narrowed his eyes, and my heart began to flutter against my ribs. I didn't know how to respond. I'd never known a guest so focused on business on a yacht. But this lighter and definitely flirtatious side of Hayden that snuck out here and there had me in a spin, and I knew I shouldn't encourage it, but I enjoyed this side of him and wanted to see it more. A beat of silence passed between us, and I went to walk away before he spoke.
I bet you've seen a lot. People with money can be colorful.
It was as if he were trying to prolong our interaction, just to talk about nothing in particular. It's amazing what money can buy, I replied, also wanting the conversation to continue. Most of the time I just saw people's behavior as indulgent, but every now and then I found the excess too much.
Drugs?
He asked. I flipped my tray under my arm. No way. That's a pretty hard line. I mean, I know it happens on boats used by the owners, but not on charters. There's too much to lose for the captains, though the alcohol tends to more than make up for it.
I bet. I've never really been much of a drinker.
Of course I knew that about him already. Too much of a control freak? I asked, then inwardly cringed. He smirked.
You noticed?
He sipped his coffee as if we were two colleagues or friends having a chat.
I think I've always been too ambitious, too focused. Even at university, I was scouring the financial pages at 5 a.m. when everyone else was passed out with a hangover.
I understood that. I'd been working long hours away from home when all my friends from high school had been drowning in Jell-O shots. Yeah, I never did the college experience thing either.
It seems we have that in common. We both take our work a little too seriously, he said.
Pleasure bloomed in my chest at him acknowledging my job. I did work hard, and I might not make millions, but that didn't mean I wasn't committed and focused. Yeah, the hours are long and it's nonstop all day.
We both probably should have a little more fun.
His eyebrows pulsed up suggestively, so different from the intense, focused, private man I saw most of the time. Was he intimating that we have fun together, or just generally? If any other guy had said that, I would know they were coming on to me. But Hayden was different. Interesting. Confusing. We have plenty of tequila on board, I said, and then there's always the inflatable banana. Hayden let out a roaring laugh and leaned back on the railings.
You were right about me when you said I wasn't the banana boat kind of guy. Like you say yourself, you read people well.
Sometimes. Not with you, I thought. I should have excused myself. I should have made an excuse about towels or something, but I wanted him to tell me more, give me more. You must have some vices, even if inflatable bananas aren't among them.
Don't we all?
He paused, holding my gaze, his tongue darting out to catch the dot of foam that collected at the edge of his mouth.
Women, for one.
I nodded slowly. Of course he was a womanizer. I wasn't even into guys like him, and I was completely attracted. My stomach swooped, and my breathing echoed off the deck, mixing with the hard syllables of what he'd just said. Did he mean to be provocative? It was as if he'd hypnotized me with his stare. I couldn't look away. He smirked and took another sip of coffee.
But work has always been my drug of choice.
I couldn't help but wonder what drove him to work so hard. It couldn't just be about the money, even though he might say different. It must go beyond that. I can tell.
What about you?
He asked.
You can't be quite as perfect as you seem to be.
I seem perfect? I scrunched up my nose. Was that how he saw me? Did that mean cold and officious? I'm anything but. It's my job to ensure whatever I'm thinking on the inside doesn't reflect on the outside. He trailed his thumb over the scruff of his beard. Today was the first time I'd not seen him clean-shaven. It suited him.
I thought I had the best poker face in town, but you put me to shame.
I'm well-practiced. Some of the things were asked for. I exhaled, glancing into the interior. I should have left, gone back to the galley. It would blow your mind. He raised his eyebrows, waiting for me to elaborate. You get the usual stuff. Caviar flown in from Russia, unusual wines, that kind of thing. And then people who want certain types of bedding or special doggy menus. I once got a request for white kittens for a 6-year-old. We had to go and buy cats for this kid. I shook my head. That kept her entertained for 20 minutes, and then we had to rush around finding homes for them all. And then last season, the whole crew had to call some guests Your Majesty and curtsy whenever we addressed them.
Wow.
A smile flirted at the corners of his lips, and the sun seemed to shine just a bit brighter for a few seconds. And last year, I had a guest ask that waitstaff serve their final dinner in a thong. Hayden frowned.
Topless?
I laughed. It had been such a ludicrous request. Yeah, a black lace thong and nothing else.
Wow, I didn't realize that was an option. I should have taken more notice of that form you had me fill out.
I glared at him and then laughed.
Did you do it?
I held his gaze but shook my head. No, but you can never say no, right? I had the deck crew guys turn into waitresses for the night. They took their shirts off and wore a thong over their boxers. The guests had a sense of humor about it, at least.
Can't say no,
he asked.
Because the client is always right.
Of course. I curved my mouth into my usual at-your-service smile. It felt as though he was digging for something. I just wasn't sure what. I just try to focus on the job. Isn't that what you do?
Put the work first? Absolutely.
He held my gaze. Seconds ticked by, and I felt as if I were being pulled toward him, the barrier between guest and crew dissolving in the heat. I should go. I couldn't handle the weight or intensity of his stare. It was almost as if he were willing my deepest, darkest secrets to the surface.
I enjoyed talking with you, Avery.
The way he said my name, the pronunciation was so different. As if he strung out the syllables to make the sound last. It was so unnerving that my skin scattered with goosebumps. I enjoyed talking with you, too.
I mean it,
he said, scanning my face before he brought his hand up and swept his thumb over my chin, just below my mouth. My legs weakened under his heat, and I blinked slowly, desperate for time to slow down so I could take in every sensation.
About you being perfect.
He withdrew his hand and took another sip of coffee as if touching me like that was no big deal. Maybe it wasn't. To him, this wasn't a friendly grasp of my shoulder or a squeeze of my arm that I could dismiss as him being tactile. This was intimate and flirtatious, and I needed to leave before he saw how much I wanted it to happen again. Chapter 13. Avery. Despite it being days since Hayden had touched me, the heat of his fingers still echoed against my skin every now and then, particularly when I was alone and trying not to think of him. This early in the morning, the entire boat was silent, and attempting not to make a sound, I made my way up the spiral staircase and out through the main salon to the deck. The outside lights were on, but dimmed, and the sea was particularly still this morning, a sheet of black silk beneath us. A ribbon of fiery orange trailed across the horizon as the sun threatened to burst into the sky. It was beautiful. I leaned against the railing, breathing in the fresh air that would become almost stifling by mid-afternoon. In moments like these, yachting was worth it, but they were fleeting. The sliding doors behind me whizzed as they opened, and I stood straight and twirled around as if I'd been caught doing something I shouldn't have been. "Good morning," I said as Hayden appeared, his hair rumpled and gray half-moons settled under his eyes. I was more pleased to see him than I should have been. I spread my arms, presenting the horizon, which was threatening to burst into flames. "The sunrise is putting on a show." Hayden glanced from the sky to me. I was probably grinning a little too widely and looked like a maniac, but I couldn't help it. It was so beautiful. The corner of his mouth twitched. Was he laughing at me? "These moments have to be enjoyed, that's all." He strode toward me, reached out, and squeezed my upper arm.
"You're absolutely right."
His touch momentarily paralyzed me before I found my voice. I needed some space, some distance. "Can I get you a juice while you enjoy the view?" I asked, stepping sideways toward the door. He turned away from the sky to look at me and frowned.
"Stay. This is a moment to be enjoyed, to share."
I knew I shouldn't stay. "I have a lot to do. I should really..."
"Stay."
He said it so simply, so finally there was no arguing with him. I stepped up next to where he leaned against the rail, watching as the orange edged into pink and bled into the black.
"Sunrises aren't something that should be witnessed alone,"
he said after several minutes had passed. We stood facing forward, and he turned his head to me. I glanced at him as the beginnings of the day caught the sharp edge of his jaw. My body relaxed, and I leaned forward next to him, our elbows just an inch apart.
"Thank you. This was just what I needed."
Did he mean he needed the sunrise, or me staying to watch it with him? He unclasped his hands and shifted closer, our elbows touching as he trailed his knuckles over my hand as if to reinforce his gratitude. I glanced down to where our skin touched, then back up to find his eyes fixed on mine. Though it was just his hand against mine, the gesture belied the nature of our relationship, guest and stewardess. We weren't lovers or friends. Maybe it was the ocean air or the magnificent sky, but the more time I spent in this man's orbit, the more I thought maybe I wanted to be friends with him, know him a little better, understand his changes in mood and temperament, know what drove him. "I'm glad," I whispered, our arms still close enough I could feel the heat of him. If he was happy, that meant I was doing my job. Although the way my heart swelled and my cheeks heated, it felt less like a job and more like a calling. Or fate, something bigger than I'd known before. Yachts and boats on the water and the shapes of buildings and trees along the shore began to come into focus, and everything filled with color as the sun crept out from behind the horizon. The whole coast seemed to yawn and stretch as it slowly came to life. A flock of geese flew overhead, breaking the comfortable silence, and we tipped our heads back, trying to drink in every sight and sound.
"I'm normally at the gym by now,"
he said as he settled his gaze back on the skyline.
"I'm not sure I notice whether the sun has risen or not when I'm in London."
"I know what you mean. Sometimes it's easy to miss the beauty in the everyday." Hayden's gaze dropped to my mouth and back up.
"That's my biggest fault. I don't make enough of each moment."
I felt the same. I was so focused on the job, on the tip, on taking care of my family, being in this beautiful place barely registered. It was almost as if I hadn't let myself enjoy it, as if I were punishing myself. "I can't remember the last time I watched the sunrise." Hayden shifted so he was facing me, still leaning on one elbow against the aluminum balustrade.
But surely that's why you're here, to take advantage of the setting.
I shrugged, self-conscious under the full force of his attention. The job can be a lot. Sometimes on my days off, I just sleep.
I assumed that people who worked on these yachts did it because they loved the traveling.
Some do. I knew some people took the job to feed their wanderlust, but for me, it had only ever been about the money.
But not you. Do you get a lot of time to explore?
He asked as if he were trying to nail down my motivations, as if he were trying to get to know me. We get a day or so between charters. I tried to concentrate on the view, but all I was conscious of was Hayden Wolf and how close he was and how my skin set alight every time he touched me.
How long do those usually last?
He asked as his eyes followed a strand of my hair set free by the breeze. A few days to a couple of weeks.
So 8 weeks is a long charter,
he said, almost to himself. Usually there's a month's break between the mid-season and the Caribbean season. That's when most people do their traveling.
Usually.
This charter was a little early, so I flew straight in from Miami, not that I had traveling planned, unless you count Pavilion's Mall in Sacramento. He laughed.
I don't think you need a Lonely Planet guide for that. So, you're doing 2 seasons back-to-back. It doesn't show.
I have good lighting, I replied as I pointed at the sun, and a good crew, and one unfussy guest.
I can be very demanding,
he said, pinning me with a stare.
You haven't seen all of me yet.
My pulse throbbed in my neck as his gravelly voice echoed through me. Heat rose up my body, and I snapped my head around to focus on the water. Silence pulsed between us as I concentrated on keeping my breathing steady. I should go, but I wanted to see what was next.
Where would you take this boat if this was your charter?
He asked eventually, the heat between us having cooled to a simmer. Was he interested or being polite? I wanted to tell him everything. I smiled. Italy is beautiful. Taormina in Sicily is as breathtaking as it gets. I've only ever been for an hour here or there, but from what I've seen, it's desperately... I stopped myself from finishing my sentence, from telling him how romantic I'd found Taormina the twice I'd managed to set a foot on dry land there. He inhaled and stood, and I could only focus on how his chest expanded, and his body seemed to take up all the space around me. "Do you vacation a lot?" I asked, wanting to prolong our interaction, and still unclear why we hadn't left the spot we'd started in 2 weeks ago. He chuckled.
Hardly.
He leaned back on the railing, facing away from the view that had brought us here. It was strange that he was my guest, and yet here we were both working. I should be trying to lighten his load. Have you thought about changing your surroundings a little? You could at least watch the sunrise light up a different coastline. He'd enjoyed the sunrise, and he might enjoy a different view. If I could do anything to make his experience on the Athena better, I would. He frowned, as if he hadn't really contemplated the idea, but Captain Moss would have talked him through the options. Just a thought. I sank my teeth into my bottom lip. I know relaxation, the food, the wine, the ambiance isn't your priority here, but in the nanoseconds that you allow yourself to relax, it could be nice to have a different view. He nodded, and I stared out over the water as he focused on something that wasn't the view. For a moment, I wondered if I was the only one who felt the link between us. It was as if we were being drawn toward each other by an invisible current. I wanted to stop swimming against the pull and let myself drift toward him, but I knew that wasn't an option. And anyway, he'd be gone soon enough.
I'd need someone to share those sunrises with,
he said. Before I had the chance to respond or to analyze what he'd said, a crash in the kitchen brought me back to the moment. I straightened and checked my watch. It was a few minutes after 7, which meant Neil had started to prepare breakfast. It also meant Hayden and I had been admiring the Med for almost an hour. I'm officially on shift, I said, taking a deep breath as if it would magically transform me from tourist to waitress. What would you like for breakfast? I asked, knowing the answer would be eggs. Hayden stood and ran his fingers through his already unruly hair. I pulled my hair into a ponytail while Hayden watched, his gaze flitting from my face to my hands, down my body and up. "You've been up all night," I said. "Maybe you should sleep rather than eat."
"You're probably right."
He stretched, the edge of his shirt lifting past his waistband to reveal a bronzed ribbon of skin, my own personal sunrise. I squeezed my eyes shut, trying to block him out. "I'll ask Neil for some eggs." I turned and headed toward the sliding doors.
"Thank you,"
he called after me. I turned my head to smile. He was watching me, and the warmth that rose in my belly shouldn't have been there. Perhaps I shouldn't have suggested he catch the sunrise. I definitely shouldn't have stayed to watch it with him, and I was certain that this feeling of connection I had to him was one-sided, and it needed to end. Fast.
Hayden. The squawk of seagulls pulled me from my nap, and as I opened my eyes, even though I had my sunglasses on, I had to shield myself from the glare of the sun. I checked my watch. I'd been asleep 4 hours, ever since I'd slumped on my lounger after breakfast. I glanced at my laptop, which was firmly closed beside me. It was just coming up to 1 local time, so the U.S. wasn't even at their desks yet. I'd not missed anything. "Mr. Wolf," the captain said, as he came through the sliding doors of the main living space. I stood to shake his hand. He checked in with me daily to ensure everything was okay, and to ask if I wanted to pull up the anchor to go somewhere else. I had always insisted I was fine where I was, but now I was in the mood for a change of scene. Avery had been right about so many things. She'd helped me set the Phoenix acquisition back on track, after all. So how could she be wrong about changing up the scenery? And if she liked Italy, then Italy was where we were taking this boat. "I was thinking we could make our way down the Italian coast over the next week." Captain Moss nodded, probably relieved he was going to get to do something. "Absolutely. Do you want to leave today?" "At your convenience," I replied. "We can get going this afternoon. The weather is good and the winds are low. I thought we could end up in Taormina." "That's a great spot. No problem at all." He turned to leave, but I added, "I'm aware that this is a longer charter than most, Captain." "Yes, but we're delighted you're on board." I was used to recruiting people for their skills, not their charm. I wasn't a man who reveled in pleasantries and small talk. I preferred to cut to the chase. Captain Moss had a similar temperament, but I appreciated the effort he made. I nodded. "But I am here alone and require very little looking after. I appreciate that the crew might need to blow off some steam. After all, I've already been on board 2 weeks. I'd like to drop anchor somewhere and give the crew the night off." I got the impression I was less demanding than most, but the crew shouldn't be expected to work 8 weeks without some time off. I might have been betrayed by a senior employee, but I still believed treating people with respect produced their best work, and their loyalty, most of the time. People labeled me a generous employer, but I was motivated by self-interest. You got what you deserved most of the time. "That's not necessary, Mr. Wolf. The crew are assigned enough free time." Of course he'd push back, but my mind was set. "I appreciate when we're not in dock I can't be the only one left on board, but I'm sure most of the crew can be given the evening off. Shall we say tomorrow from 6? Captain Moss hesitated. "That is more than generous. Rest assured I will be on board at all times, along with one of my engineers." "As you wish." I shook his hand. "I'll get us moving as soon as I can." "Excellent. Thank you." I'd been selfish by insisting I deal only with Avery, and I hadn't even realized until I'd seen her with her hair down watching the sunrise this morning, trying to steal a few moments for herself. I wanted to be the one who gave her those moments. She'd earned it. Talking through the issues I had with Phoenix had genuinely helped. I could get stuck in the numbers, but she'd been right. This deal was all about people. Watching the sunrise with her, where she'd let joy replace her professional veneer, had been breathtaking and infectious. I was pretty sure I'd enjoy watching a traffic jam if I was watching it with her. For a few moments, as we'd faced the new day together, we'd been just two people enjoying the dawn. I'd remembered what it was like to feel free from the pressure of my whole world on the brink of collapse. It had been over all too quickly, and we'd both returned to our respective pressures, although she was far too professional to give away that her long hours were a problem. But she'd clearly not had the break between seasons she normally did, and that was down to me. While I couldn't relieve that pressure again so easily for me, I could do it for Avery. Giving her and the rest of the crew the night off meant I could reimagine her and that easy manner she had when she wasn't on duty. Even if I wasn't there to witness it, it was reward enough to know she'd leave her hair loose and wear that warm, generous smile somewhere ashore. Avery Walker deserved the night off, and it felt good to be the one who could make that happen for her. Chapter 14. Hayden.
How's paradise? Landon asked as he answered my call. I pushed my chair away from my desk and rested my right leg on my left knee. It's fine.
Why did we have to go through this rigmarole of Landon trying to point out that I lived a charmed life? I rolled my eyes, desperate to get down to business.
I've asked the captain to take us down the Italian coast over the next week or so.
Landon cleared his throat as he stopped giving me shit and became the focused professional he was with others.
Not a problem. I have contacts all over that area who can make drops if you need them, and I have a mobile team following you.
I'm glad you called, actually.
Why? Your bear-baiting skills need sharpening.
I could almost hear his grin at the other end of the line.
Well, yes, as it happens. But I also wanted to let you know that I finished tracing the finances of your senior team.
And? I asked, gripping the phone a little more tightly.
There's a few things that we need to follow up. One with Anita and one with your finance director.
Anita? There's no way she's the leak.
We need to do some investigating. But she opened a bank account just over a year ago, and there have been chunky payments into that account that total just shy of $100,000.
My heart began to knock against my ribcage. Anita was the one I trusted over everyone. It couldn't be her. She'd worked for me for 10 years and been part of the team before we had 7 figures on our balance sheet. But what Landon had found didn't sound good. Anita and I didn't share anything personal, but I assumed she and her husband didn't have a lot of money. From what I'd heard when my office door was open, she was putting 2 kids through university and was finding it tough. I'd given her a 10% pay rise when I'd heard that, although she'd never asked for a raise in the whole time she'd worked for me. Perhaps her kids' education had been her Achilles heel. Had Cannon found her weak spot?
You're talking about my assistant, Anita. Fenton? I asked.
Perhaps Landon had mixed up the names.
Yes, Anita Fenton. The bank account activity is unusual, but I need to trace where it's coming from. We're on it.
Okay. Well, let me know as soon as you can, please. I can't imagine it's her, but if it is... The woman had access to everything I'd ever touched. I kept nothing from her. I trusted her implicitly. If she wanted to, she could cause chaos back at Wolf Enterprises. We'll find out what's going on.
I might call her, check in.
I'd not spoken to her for a few days, and I could tell she was uncomfortable with me being away from the office. She tried to be respectful and not ask too many questions, but I could tell she wanted to know more about what I was doing.
Don't set off any alarm bells. Don't try to question her.
I'm not an idiot. That wasn't conclusive right now, and if Anita was the source of the leak, I was pretty sure I'd be up for Idiot of the Year.
Did you say something about my finance director?
Actually, it's not the director. It's his reports.
the controller and the treasurer. What's the deal there? Jesus, it sounded like Landon was investigating the entire company. Perhaps Cannon had more than one person on their payroll. It was clear they were coming for me, just like they'd come for my dad all those years ago. I'm not sure. A couple of calls to unregistered mobiles. An account in the Cayman Islands that one of them holds.
An offshore account? Why would anyone working for me need an account in the Cayman Islands?
It's actually not that unusual for finance professionals. I see it all the time, especially if they've spent part of their career abroad. But it makes my job harder.
I swallowed. Landon never admitted he found things difficult. It wasn't his style.
Also, I don't think I asked you, but who's the newest member of your team?
I'd poached all five of my executive team from positions in other companies. I'd hand-picked them. None of them had applied for the job. My strategy director was the last person I recruited. Sally had been on the other side of a negotiation, and she'd done her best to kick my ass. I'd decided I'd rather have her inside my tent pissing out than the other way around. But that was over 2 years ago.
What about other women?
There's Jean and Helen.
I don't mean other people on your executive team. I mean women.
Was he five? You mean girls I've fucked? Well, you know the score there.
Are you still as prolific as you've always been?
I chuckled, and amusement sliced through my anxiety. It seemed so odd that my brother was asking me personal questions in a way that was clearly meant to be professional. I was used to a different side of him.
Prolific? Jesus, I bet locker room talk was boring when you were in the SAS.
I fuck a lot of women, but they never come back to my place. I don't take them to dinner or talk about my day with them.
So it's just shagging. No pillow talk.
You want details? Okay, well, if you must know, generally I like to start with getting my dick sucked. I like women to take their bra off for that, but leave their knickers.
Shut the fuck up! I don't want to hear about how bad in bed you are.
Given how differently our lives had turned out, it always surprised me how quickly we reverted to our teenage selves around each other. There were lots of upsides to being successful, but there were downsides too. I didn't get to kick back with the guys much. I didn't have many friends. They'd been abandoned along the route to the success. And at work, I was the boss, a leader. I was deadly serious and laser-focused. Landon was really the only person in my life I could joke with.
Think about it. Is there anyone you've shagged over the last couple of years you changed your MO for? Maybe she turned up to your place, naked, wearing just a fur. Or maybe you fucked some office junior.
Hey, that's enough. I've never taken advantage of a junior member of my staff.
Like I said, there's no one. I'm not saying there aren't girls, but I never bring them back to my place and I never discuss work with them.
I fucked to forget about work. It was my release, the way I disappeared from the stress of the day.
Calm down.
Landon paused.
If you're sure, then we'll put all our efforts into the office. I just want to make sure we're not missing anything.
I expected it to be easier. Whoever it is has covered their tracks. When I call Anita, I could ask her to arrange for me to be sent a couple of IMs and have her send them to me on USB.
IM?
Landon asked. Information memorandum. The sale particulars of a company.
Sounds good. It could help flush someone out. That way, if Cannon swoop in and buy any of the companies whose sale particulars you've requested, we'll know Anita is the source.
Right, Einstein. I hated to consider the possibility that Anita was the leak, but if she was, I needed to know sooner rather than later. She had too much access to too much information. More than anyone, she had the ability to destroy me, and I wasn't going to let that happen.
Chapter 15, Avery. There was no end of lobster, steak, and chocolate on a yacht, which meant I craved the most basic things. It might not be everyone's idea of a perfect meal, but as far as I was concerned, carbs and cheese were as close to heaven as it was possible to be while still breathing. And combining them was just the best invention outside of tampons, the internet, and lipstick.
Hey, what are you doing?
Eric came into the galley as I was shredding the perfect strength cheddar, which I knew Neil stocked just for me. Making myself a cheese sandwich, or changing a tire. Delete as appropriate. He checked his watch.
But we're heading to the restaurant in like 20 minutes, and are you grating cheese to go in a cold cheese sandwich?
I shook my head. First, with August in your party, you'll be lucky if you make it out within the hour. Second, I don't see how I can join you. He drew back as if I'd whacked him in the face with a frying pan.
What do you mean?
I shook the grater, small curls of yellow tumbling onto the board. I don't see how I can. I mean, is the captain going to make Caden a coffee if he wants one?
Captain Moss said himself that Hayden had given us all the evening off. Neil's prepped some food and left it in the refrigerator. Wolf knows there won't be any crew on board.
I know, but it doesn't feel right. It did go against my instincts to leave a guest on board, knowing there was no crew other than the captain. But the reason I was still in my crew uniform was more complicated. I'd enjoyed watching the sunrise with Hayden the other morning. No one else had been awake, and we'd had the boat to ourselves. I could pretend for a moment that he wasn't a guest and I wasn't a stewardess, and although I knew it was stupid, reckless even to think like that, I wanted that feeling again. Maybe that was a good reason to go ashore.
We're in Italy, dude. You have to come ashore.
I smiled, not at anything Eric had said, but at the fact that after my conversation with Hayden and my suggestion at moving the yacht, he'd done exactly that.
Don't be such a martyr. You've got to come. Neil's told me how much tequila you can drink. I want to see it for myself.
Eric continued. Neil and I had had a blast in Greece last year, and there'd been far too much tequila between charters. A night out with Neil was guaranteed fun, and my dad's words about me taking time for myself rang in my ears. Maybe I should go, but the problem was I didn't want to. I swept my hand down my body. I'm not dressed for it anyway. I really should stick around in case Hayden needs anything.
Did Moss say you had to?
Eric asked just as Skylar wandered into the kitchen. You're not changing? She asked, her gaze flitting down my body.
Moss ordered her to stay,
Eric said. I cut my sandwich in half and put it on a plate, then set about cleaning the mess I'd just made. Captain Moss has done no such thing. I'm chief stew. It's my job to put the guests first. It would have been nice to go out tonight and have fun, dance a little, drink a lot, maybe find a hot deckhand from another yacht to kiss. But it wasn't a deckhand I wanted a kiss from. Just Hayden's touch covered my skin in goosebumps and heat. I couldn't imagine what his lips might do. If I was staying because of the thought of Hayden's mouth on mine, perhaps going ashore would be the safe option. Skylar slumped on the banquette. You've gotta come. It won't be the same without you. Please. Who will help me find rich single men who have husband potential? These guys will look after you, I said, lifting my chin as Neil came into the galley.
Cheese sandwich?
He asked, and I nodded. Although no one was allowed to heat anything up in the kitchen, chefs were territorial, we were all permitted to make ourselves cold food. She's saying she's not coming tonight, Skylar said. She's right here, I said, pointing to myself.
Why don't you just come for an hour? I'll bring you back.
Eric said, his expression pleading.
Or I can stay, and once he locks himself in his office, we can head out. You know he never comes out once he's gone in there for the night. You won't see him again until tomorrow.
I could easily go. Eric was right. Hayden had been the person to instigate our night off. He didn't need looking after. But I didn't want to leave. I'm not doing it. Neil blew out a breath.
Save your breath, Eric. I've tried to talk her out of it, but you know how dedicated she is.
I'm dedicated to my tip. I laughed and took my plate to the dining table, tucking into the banquette next to Eric and Skylar. You're dedicated to the job, Skylar said. I'm never going to be a chief stew if this is what it takes. I'm always going to choose husband shopping, vodka, and dancing over a guest. It's really not a big deal, guys. It's one night. We'll have plenty of fun times this season when this charter is over. The problem was, I knew if it were any guest other than Hayden Wolf, I could be convinced to go ashore.
I'll drink your share, if it makes you feel any better,
Eric said, taking one for the team. I winked at him, and a slight blush crept over his baby.